not opposed to him having it. I just don't know how to do it legally.
Oh, I know. I wrote that.
Heavenly Father, I pray that our county will prosper this year, new business, new industry. And just bless this county today, this day. God, I ask you to be with the commissioners, Lord, as increase comes in, how to handle our finances. Just be with us in this meeting, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming out. For some reason, there's an exorbitant amount of purple in here today, more than necessary. But anyhow, that was a good game for those that got to watch it. So I know there's a few people in here that are happy about that. All right, so we'll start with item number one.
For sure.
One for sure, yeah. Maybe two. Maybe
two. At least two.
Maybe three. Open court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. And as always, if it's something that's not on the agenda that you comment about, we cannot reply back to you. So, anyway, anyone from the audience?
Good afternoon, commissioners and judge. I have a couple of announcements. One of the announcements, we have Orange County Disaster Rebuild has partnered with World Renew, which is actually called the Green Shirts. And so what this organization does is come in and they are going to do needs assessment, which for Harvey and Imelda, which we're excited about, they were going to add it. We had this group coming in October, but since Imelda had happened right there in September, we had to postpone it, and so they've rescheduled it for January. So now they're going to include Imelda, which we're really excited to kind of see what is our snapshot, what does our recovery look like for Imelda, and what do we have left for Harvey. So one of the things that I wanted to bring to your attention, I gave you a sheet about the dates. They're going to start this next Monday, and they're going to stay on the 20th, and they're going to be here through the 31st. We have two walk-in centers. One's going to be at the Expo Center. I'm in the DuPont room, and the other one is going to be at Nehemiah's Vision main office off of Main Street. They have allowed us to use it free of charge, and so we appreciate them doing that. But also, the World Renew is no charge. This is a service that they're going to offer, and they put everything into a database, and they give it to our long-term recovery group here. And so we were able to access that and be able to utilize it. So if we get things for Imelda, we're able to categorize it to their needs and what kind of resources we need to bring into the area. So we're excited about that. So do y'all have any questions or anything like that? But they will, just so you know, we're going to identify the most impacted areas. So they might be doing some door-to-door walking. So we want to make sure that our citizens know that if they see green shirts, they will also have identification. So make sure that you ask if you have any questions. They should have identification on them. So they're going to go door to door, and we just want to make sure people are not falling through the cracks. And they got a disaster case manager. So
I appreciate it. A lot of people don't fit in this program, don't fit in that program, but they still need help.
And so that's one of the things we're going to kind of identify through this survey. So we're encouraging every person that's been affected that still have storm-related needs to please come to one of those walk-in centers. This is the only way we're going to know if you need help.
What's the date again, Michelle?
January 20th through January the 31st. And they're also open on one Saturday, which is the 25th from 9 to 1 at both locations. So we're open on Monday, which is a holiday, which allows people that are, if you're off, you're able to go in, and also a Saturday. So we're open 2 days if you have to work. So, but also, I'm excited to announce we have Harvest Call has arrived. I know I've been talking about them coming, and they really are real people. They're here, and they have already started on 5 homes. I've already poured the slabs, but I want to introduce you to them so that way you guys can see their face and thank them and it's Tim and Barb Slagle. They have brought people, and they have, and if you want to come up, Tim, if you want to just, can he give you a little explanation about
sure,
that?
Sure, absolutely. Okay.
The organization, and just kind of he can tell you what they're doing.
Apologize for the mud I brought in. I've been out helping my mom.
If you've been outside, you bring in mud.
Just real briefly, Harvest Call is the mission outreach portion of our nationwide church. And every winter we select a project where we find some place in the South, because y'all have really, really nice weather compared to Minnesota and Illinois where we come from. We try to find a spot that maybe a year, 2 years removed from a natural disaster. And we try to put as many homeowners back in their homes as we can. We try to find people that have been kind of maybe fallen through the cracks or lost hope. And we're here to instill hope. The mission statement of our organization is proclaim Christ and serve others. We try to do both of those. So this year, this is the 21st year we've done this, and this year God brought us to Orange County. And Michelle was a big part of that as well. So our plan this year is to try to get about 20 homeowners back into their homes before we leave at the end of March. I want to thank your community for hosting us. We've had a church that's housing us. It's done a wonderful job, hospitality. The businesses we've made relationships with in the 3 weeks we've been here. Your whole community has just been very gracious and outreaching, and it's a representation of the county. You all are in good hands, and thank you for having us here.
Where are you from?
I am from Illinois. Most of our volunteers are from the Midwest. They span the net. We have a long-term person here from Oregon or another from Connecticut, but most of them are from the Midwest. Most of our volunteers come from the Midwest, and most of our churches are in the Midwest.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you coming to help us out.
Thanks for having us.
And if there's anything we can do to help you while you're here, just let Michelle know, and we'll do what we can.
We do that. All right,
thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else?
Well, what might I have to talk about today? there was an event yesterday you may or may not have seen. Yeah.
3 minutes is up.
But the only Tigers and the only Tigers who play in Death Valley were successful in bringing home the crown, and it was good to see the folks that worked so hard for that. And Coach Orgeron is like the everyday guy that made it, so everybody's got to feel good for that. So go Tigers! It was exciting to watch, and since they won, I don't have to listen to anybody on this court, because I know y'all were all sitting waiting. I know y'all were in wait, because that's how y'all are. But you don't have anything to say today, so it's good. It's good. I also want to bring up that me and the Drainage District and Trey from Road and Bridge met out there at the Drainage District office to talk about doing some projects out there in the Nottingham addition. There's some things that the Drainage District's got to do that will tie into what Road and Bridge is going to do. So, an example of us working together, and then eventually there'll be some TxDOT tie-in too. So we're working on all those projects, trying to improve the drainage in that neighborhood. So
mine is a little bit more on a more serious, but
more serious.
My friend Dale Dardo, and probably many of you know who he is. He served on the West Orange City Council for over 20 years. He had a very serious stroke Saturday, and he's been in ICU. So I would appreciate your prayers.
I'd say I was going to talk about Dale, but that's fine.
Okay.
He summed it up with the Tigers.
There you go. And again, you know, I think that as we move into our fourth year now of starting out with rain, we've had our 3 years in a row now in excess of 100 inches of rainfall, which is extremely unusual for our area. But we did meet kind of similar to that, just kind of keep everybody up on drainage. But I just want to, you know, shout out to our folks at TxDOT who have been working really well with us and very fast in the Drainage District. And because, again, the things that we're doing, we had an issue in Vider. We called them. They were out the next day. They took care of it so that now the Drainage District can do their piece. And when they get theirs done, then our Road and Bridge folks will take care of theirs. And so the fact that we're all working together to get to the same result at the end and not, you know, move water onto each other without consideration downstream. It's just nice to have that kind of working relationship with these people. So thanks, everybody, for that they're doing, because it is very important that we continue to do this, because hopefully we won't have a fourth year of 100 inches of rain. But if we do, we want to be as prepared as we can. So
I just want to say one more. When you said that about TxDOT, out in Mauriceville, since Imelda, they haven't had a post office. And, I mean, they have one, and the postmaster out there, the lady, those ladies have worked so hard. They're working out of a tent is what they're working out of. And I've been out there to see them and check them. They're working on that building. The man that owns it, I thought all post offices were owned by the Fed, but they're not. And I found that out, and he lives in Clear Lake, and I've talked to him, and he could really care less. But it is being repaired. But the road where people are having, you know, pulling off to go to that tent to get their mail, and lots of people in Mauriceville use that. The asphalt had just chunked off because of so many people and the weather and everything, and there was a big drop. And on Highway 12, if any of you have ever been on Highway 12 lately, you have those big old trucks, and you have to slow down to pull off to go to the post office. And if one of those old trucks hits you from behind, not only is it you, but it's going to go right through the tent that's the post office right now. So I called TxDOT, and they have repaired it, and it has been fixed, and it's in a much safer now. And I thank TxDOT for doing that.
Anything else? Anyone else? All right, we'll move to item number two, discussion and possible action regarding items related to natural disaster Imelda.
Judge, Commissioners, I just have two things this morning. One, we were approved for the extension at the landfill by the PCQ permit. We got their approval letter late last week to continue the debris mission. And as of, well, this morning, yesterday, the folks hauling the debris out, Ashbridge, started on Monday on time like they were supposed to. They got all their trucks certified over the weekend, and yesterday they hauled out 10
loads at 844 cubic yards. So
excellent.
That's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
Judge, Commissioners, update on the Vida Community Center. All the mud's done on the sheetrock. They're doing some final sanding. All the doors are ordered for the building. They should be texturing by the end of this week, and hopefully next week start applying some paint and hanging some doors. So it's moving. It's not moving as fast as I thought, but it is moving forward.
Yeah, saw the pictures, and everything looks like it's doing good.
Oh, great.
Thank you for that update.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Because it's...
Yeah,
it's... We're rolling forward.
Yeah. It won't be long. It'll be open.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was going to wait till you got all
and then read it.
Item number three, discussion of possible action regarding items related to Hurricane Harvey, including updates on Orange County buildings, properties, and roads.
The Claiborne West Park office, we have all the walls ready to start doing texture. We should be putting the texture on the wall Thursday. We have a little humidity issue right now because we don't have an air conditioned unit inside the building. Once we spray the texture and it dries, then we're going to go and install the new central air unit inside the building. That way, when we get ready to paint, we can keep the humidity out, the paint dry faster and all that. But all the brickwork on the pavilions are completed. I was told, I think it was yesterday, that Phil told me, they do have two water leaks at the park. There's a water leak, remember, Commissioner Vietor, where that first water leak was over there by the ballpark? Well, that one was fixed. We have another leak over there. Then we have another leak, I think it's by Pavilion 1. So there's no water at the pavilions. And we're going to have to fix that to be able to do any cleanup at the pavilions. We have one pavilion done with the post. We got to cut the plate. I already got the plate in. We got to cut the plate to tack the plate up on the fireboxes, and then we can start doing some cleanup. We have one toilet that we have to replace in one of the pavilions, and then change the post out on the other two pavilions. And it's moving, not as fast, but We're getting there.
Well, again, like I said, I saw the pictures.
Yeah, I'm glad I sent those.
Anyway, those come, so it's easy to tell.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to see pictures.
Kurt.
Yes, ma'am.
I might have misunderstood. That first leak that was over there by the ballparks that was back in the summer.
Yes, we fixed it.
It's fixed.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's not doing it again. Now it's just the one by the
pipe. No, there's another one right by that one. The pipe started leaking. So we have two another leak after the one that we fixed.
Okay.
Then there's another leak by Pavilion Number 1. And Laura isolated the valves where we kept some water on, but most of the water for the pavilions are off. The guys who did the brickwork, they didn't have any water holes to clean up there. As you can see in the pictures, they still got a lot of residue for sale on the cement, but there's no water there to clean up. They had to go to the park or the office up there to get water to mix up the mortar.
If I remember right, that first leak was down on a 4-inch line.
Yeah, and I think it's probably from the pictures that we took when we dug it up the first time. It's probably the same size pipe.
I think that was a T.
Yes, sir.
They came together.
But it's you got to figure it's all been there since the 70s when it was all put together. So. Yeah, that ground has shrunk, and during the summertime when we have dry spells, you know, that ground shrinks and starts pulling on that pipe, and voila, you got a leak. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, anything else? Anyone else? All right, item number 4, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court a direct deposit from the State Comptroller of Public Accounts in the amount of $451,679.29. These funds represent the half-cent sales and use allocation for the month of November 2019, having credited to the general operating fund. Anything additional on that?
Make a motion.
Second.
A motion by 3, a second by 2. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item number 5, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court revenue received from the City of Pine Forest, check number 2374, in the amount of $828. These funds are reimbursement for road materials.
Motion to accept.
Motion by 4.
Second.
Second by 3. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item number 6, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. $5,700 total to Marsh Waterproofing, Inc., $1,805 from the Series 2016 Certificate of Obligation Fund, 076915-52930, and $3,895 from the General Fund, 001-115-57550 in payment for payment request number 1. Item B, $84,633.08 to Texas Association of Counties Health and Employees Benefits Pool from the General Fund 001-101-51270 for Group Medical, Dental, Life, and Retiree Insurance under the age of 65 for January 2020 and as follows.
And also from the general fund, $276,966.25. Road and Bridge, $9,164.33. Mosquito Control, $1,765.22. Adult Probation, $10,699.49. Airport, $1,547.29. Consolidated accounts, $11,027.93, for a total payment of $311,170.51.
Move to go ahead and pay the bills as listed by the auditor.
I'll second that.
A motion by 1 and a second by 2 to approve payment of bills. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Yeah.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item number 7, discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer from 001105-52115 Computer Supplies of $36,795 to 001105-59999 Other of $36,795. Purpose to provide funds for Windows Server licenses and Windows 10 licenses. Ms. Reeves.
That's pretty much what I need.
Pretty much says it like it is.
We just have some Windows 10 licenses we need and Windows Server licenses. And
so moved.
Right. A motion by one, a second by four. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I would like to maybe request that my software and programming line item in the next budget come out of that, like have its own line item. It's kind of hard to know. I mean, it's just stuck in other, and I think maybe it might be my fault because I didn't specify that there were, you know, that I had things that were under other. I think I just put the amount that I was wanting. So, I mean, I guess I could change how I do that. But it would be nice if software and program was outside of other.
Got that. Nope. I like that too. I see you're writing down over there. So.
Creates a little bit more transparency too, so I like that.
All right. Item number 8, discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer mosquito control from 003-490-52300 fuel, oil, and gas grease of $1,000 to 003-490-53450 aerial spraying aircraft insurance $1,000 purpose to provide funds needed for the remainder of the year. Mr. B, I don't know if we have any sorry, comments, but
well,
we just like you to walk up to the podium just because.
Yeah, well, basically the funds are needed to pay for the insurance policy premium that is due now. There has been an increase in the aviation insurance across the board, as I was told when I contacted our insurance agent concerning the increase in costs. So it's not the increase is not due to any incidents that we've had, any problems, claims, none of that. We're good there. Just to let you know, this wasn't an across the board rate increase for aviation policies as are written. It does cover the aircraft when it is moving or hangared, the hull and the equipment on it. It covers aerial applications, materials being applied, and acts of terrorism should they occur. So, again, with the transfer out of the line item, the fuel, oil, gas, and grease, we should have money to cover those expenses for the remainder of the year. This shouldn't affect our ability to do that with that particular line item.
I only had one question. Patrick, does Missy not normally handle that for your group, or is this separate?
It is separate. Was told, they will also see an increase for the airport property insurance coverage, but that is handled through Missy, and this is separate. This is different.
Okay.
So. Motion by four and a second by two. Any further discussion?
One more question. I'm going to kind of use a little creativity here.
Go ahead.
Did you ever get your other tank, Patrick?
Yes, the above ground tank. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're referring to? Yes, that project was completed.
Okay. I just never heard for sure. I know we talked about it a lot, but then I never heard.
We did. And yes, that it has been completed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right, I have a motion by four, second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item number 9, discussion and possible action regarding allowing purchasing department to order a copier for county court at law. Number 2, Mr. Johnson.
Is it his birthday?
I was going to say, apparently he does not understand the procedure for copiers.
I heard I was supposed to do this at budget time.
Yeah, well, budget time and or birthday.
Or birthday. Okay, that's...
Yeah, not the birthday yet.
You know, Miss Lori started a precedent that has yet to be squelched down yet. So,
well, first of all, in 15 years, this is the first time I've ever had to come and ask the commissioners and the county judge for money. And this copier, I don't know how old it is. Yeah, but we've had that copier a long time. Anytime there's been any problem, we've called the repair people, and they've come, and they've got us right back online. This time, I think Juanita, my coordinator, gave them the code of whatever popped up saying what was wrong, and they said, we don't have a part for that. We no longer carry parts that, you know, handle that situation with that particular copier. I think it's kind of like Windows 7. I heard this morning, and Lisa will know, they said they're not going to support Windows 7 anymore. So apparently they don't support this copier anymore. So that's why we're in the predicament we're in. Like I said, never had it happen before, but that's where we are.
Okay. Is your birthday close?
No, not even close.
But you know what? I'm feeling a little generous.
Yeah.
I'm feeling generous.
Happy birthday, Commissioner. I heard that happen.
Patriots lost, so I figure we give you a little sympathy, maybe. I don't know.
I appreciate that.
How does that particular one, Troy?
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, I've been there 15 years. It seems like it's been there most of that 15 years. It's been there a long time. We rarely have any problems with it.
We got our money's worth out of it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I can't remember too many problems at all.
And one last question. You don't have anything in your budget you could take care of this that has to come out of contingency?
That's what I have written down.
Yeah, we're stretched pretty thin. I mean, that's half of our operating budget, basically, the $5,300.
Okay. And I had that written.
Yeah.
All right.
It's just a big chunk. Yeah. We've never had to have it before, so.
And I'll second that.
We have a motion by one and a second by two to approve the purchase of a copier for County Court at Law number 2. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item number 10.
Thank you.
Discussion and possible action regarding a line item transfer for County Court at Law number 2 from 001-111-53830 contingency of $5,723 to 001-218-54130 contract service and maintenance $396 and 001-218-5759 of equipment of greater than $5,000 or $5,327 purpose to provide funds to replace a copier and the maintenance contract that goes along with that.
So moved.
Second.
One and three. Motion by one, second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate it. Item number 11, discussion and possible action regarding the approval for the Parks Department to purchase 2 Skag Cheetah 61-inch lawnmowers to replace the 2 units that were flooded in Imelda. Insurance funds have been received in the amount of $16,362.33. The replacement quote is $18,720.
Okay. So. Good afternoon, everyone. I want to make one correction to the quote for the mowers. It is actually $18,299.98. That's the official quote that we're working off of. $18,299.98. Again, these are the Cheetah lawnmowers. They're the same brand, same size as the mowers that we've had. It's come to understanding that if TAC is included as salvage value in these mowers, and as we go forward, I'd like to be able to at least keep one of the damaged mowers. We believe that we can keep one of them running with the parts that we have from now and from the previous machines. But it comes at a cost of approximately $500 for each mower. So if we could keep one of the mowers in those times when we really got a lot of mowing to do, to have a third mower would be beneficial as long as we can keep it running. I don't want to put any more money into it than we have to. But we do have some parts we can tinker with and keep it going for as long as we can. Right.
How far underwater did they go?
Well, it went over the fuel, and we did have the adjuster come out. We did take them to Child's Ace Hardware, and they observed it along with the insurance adjuster, and it was determined that they were totaled. But because of their age, that they had some salvage value of approximately $500.
Okay.
And that's all a piece.
A piece, correct.
So to keep one of those, then we would have to add an additional $500 to this cost.
That's correct.
So that we can keep the mowers, or is that...
Are you adding the salvage value?
Well, we would have to return $500, is my understanding, of that TAC insurance money.
So we would return it, okay.
Yes.
Right.
It's like buying the mower back. Because
it's about $420 less than what we on our agenda.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, by the time I put on the agenda, I wasn't aware of the salvage option.
Right.
So is it running?
It's running. It's running.
Okay, so we've already spent some money to...
We spent a little, yes, about $400 on it so far.
To make it run.
Right.
So you're confident if we buy this for salvage, we can get it up running and actually make it useful?
Useful, but for how long, I don't know. But I do believe we can get a couple, yeah. I mean, I don't want to have another money pit like we were having with these two engines, but... I would like to see if we could get a couple of years out of it.
We already put $400, so if we yes. give it up for $500,
we lost nothing.
I mean, we're talking about $100 here. So.
No, I'm good with that. I just want to make sure.
Sabrina, everything's gone up. Every right. single thing. I mean, look at the things in our budget that we've, and, you know, everything's gone up.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that.
That was the second time they flooded. Do
Correct.
Have we looked at maybe relocating them to another place?
We have talked about it. Unfortunately, we talked about it, and then Imelda happened.
Yeah.
But it is definitely something that we need to...
I think part of the problem is trying to find a place where we could move it to higher ground but still secure it from folks who want to do bad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. That's all the questions.
All right. So you've got, just so everybody's on the same page, so we've got an insurance payment of $16,362.33. The correct quote was $18,299.98, which means we're going to have to use some additional money, which will be on the next line item, to cover that cost. And then when there's a change, it'll be on that one. The question is can we put, do we need to record how we're going to do the $500 for... if we keep one of the additional mowers, or can we do that in this line item since it's really not listed? Can we still cover that?
You mean to make the decision of whether to
yes, ma'am.
Keep one and pay the salvage value?
Yes, ma'am.
To TAC.
Back to TAC.
We've already
separate transaction.
And we've already received the $16,000,
yes.
So we couldn't take a deduction out of that. We have to go ahead and take that and then pay them back, actually.
Yes, we would have to pay TAC back.
Well, we've already gotten the $16,000.
Correct. Yes.
That's what I understood. Okay. So we'd have to actually write
So would that
check.
Need to be a separate?
Yeah, it's probably safest. Let's just handle this transaction and then put it on the agenda for next week to approve paying $500 to salvage one.
Okay. So right now we're just talking about the replacement cost from the $16,362.33 to the new quote of $18,299.98. So that would be the first
So with the
action.
Direction of the value of the new one we're purchasing, does that make the totals then change?
It will, and I've already got the numbers for you.
Yeah.
So we just got to approve the first one, and then I'll do it.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve that.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by two, second by three to approve the purchase of the two new lawnmowers. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, item 12, discussion and possible action regarding a line item transfer from 001-111-53830 contingency, and that new amount based off the change up top would be $1,937.65 to 001-681-57590 equipment greater than $5,000 of $1,937.65 is the new amount. And that's to purchase the new lawn, to replace the lawnmowers. Yes, $1,937.65.
That was a backup correction.
So that's the new amount. That we'd be doing the transfer.
So
motion by one, second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we'll get that on the agenda for next week. Item number 13, discussion and possible action regarding approval for Sheriff Keith Merritt to allow retired Corporal Craig Boudreaux to purchase his assigned duty firearm. The firearm is a Glock 40 caliber Model 22, serial number PZG569. The replacement cost is $409, and the check will be submitted to the Treasurer's Office for deposit. Once approved by the court, the firearm will be deleted off of Sheriff's Office inventory. This purchase is authorized under the authority of Texas Government Code Chapter 614.051.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by 3, second by 1. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item 14, discussion and possible action regarding approving the appointments of the following individuals to the Orange County Emergency Services District Number 3 Board of Commissioners for the year ending September 30th, 2020. First name is Mark Wimberly, second name Tim Talbert. Commissioner Trahan.
Yeah, when I saw this, I reached out to the president of ESD3, Wayne Lacombe, and he asked that we have put table this and we have a little bit more time to discuss this. So we're going to get together. Me and him will get together and discuss that.
Table or no action? Because table means next week, right? And so if we no action?
Right. So you won't. Are you wanting it back on the agenda next
week? This table, we'll put it back on the agenda for next week. I think we should have enough time to talk about this.
Okay.
So maybe. The table.
Okay. So I have a motion by 3.
Second.
Second by 2. To table until next week. So we'll put it back on. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Item 15, discussion and possible action regarding the certificate of the 2019 collection report for the tax officers required under PTC 31.10. Ms. Fisher.
Good afternoon, Judge, Commissioners. Total collection for the month of January was $15,443,807.14, and the county portion of that is $3,399,983.95. Percentage is 15.57 collections.
And that was for the month of December.
I'm sorry.
Good. Okay, good.
Can we have a motion to accept the report?
Yes.
So moved.
Motion by 1, second by 2. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
16, discussion and possible action to receive and act upon project as presented by the Road and Bridge Department. Mr. Slatham.
All right. What I've got here is just a kind of a monthly report of what's been going on in the last month and where we stand on a few things. First off, I've got the landfill collection station. And you can see on there, this first page is a chart of kind of what we get per day of attendance out there. You can see we've had a big spike in the last, really since Christmas. A lot of people had time off, I guess, in order to come out to the landfill and utilize that facility. If you look at the next page, you can see that's just a graph of the monthly total. And you can see that ever since Imelda, which I notated on there, we've been above average quite a bit. So we're still seeing what I would say is an increase in usage by the fact that either Imelda or the fact that we're open every day of the week now instead of just 3 days a week. So it's kind of both. So along with that, means that there's an increased cost. And if you look at that last page, you can see that in the expenses that we've had in this calendar year so far, or this fiscal year, October, November, and December, we've already exceeded our yearly budgeted amount for disposal fees. So I'm just brought that up last month, bring it up again, that we're going to have to at some point, you know, be asking for more money to keep going. But just keep that bug in your mind there.
How long do we intend on keeping it open every day?
That'd be y'all's call.
That's up for discussion at this point, because that's why we have the agenda as it is. We can talk about that at this point.
Since you mentioned that, Clark, are we ready to go to the new operation that we discussed earlier in our meetings? And we probably need to have
We need to have an official, I guess, meeting. But, yeah, everything's in place, ready to go.
Okay.
You know, so, but we won't start that, of course, until we start doing fees again.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know when y'all want to do that, but you can see from those two graphs that we're still up above what I would consider normal for the landfill. So
what is each bar on this graph represent?
Which, the first one?
First page.
That's the number of attendees on that day. You can see on the highest one there was about December 27th. We had 221 people come out there that day.
Wow.
Well, that was our record.
There's dates between those dates, I think, is what he's got.
So yeah, there's a bar for each day of the week, but I only label it about every 7 days or so. Or 14 days.
So 7 days.
Okay.
But January the 6th, they'll have almost that many.
Well, on January 6th, I don't remember that one, but yes, it was up above 200, you know, 215 maybe. Mm-hmm. So you can see that's a big day. And I think that 221 is our record ever. But that's that weekend right after Christmas. A lot of people were off. A lot of people had Christmas debris to get rid of. So we do typically see a big spike, you know, around holidays.
So it's not necessarily.
So we're thinking we need to have another meeting to cover those changes that we were looking at.
Yeah, I think we probably need me and John, and I guess it's Clark, Lori, and
just to finalize that.
Just
details.
To make sure we're ready to go.
Could we have that meeting before we decide to make or whether to continue the service?
Yeah, I think we probably should.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then from there we'll look at a date if we choose to go a different direction.
Lori, can we try to find a date sometime next week before the court that we could, maybe Monday, I guess, to do that? Oh, that's right.
Friday.
This Friday?
Yep.
So we're going to look at putting it back on the agenda next Tuesday?
We can.
I won't be able to meet Friday, but
all right. What about, because I don't know that we can get it by next Tuesday.
Fast.
Yeah, can we meet next Tuesday?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really asking for anything to be done
no
at this point.
Because I was just for an action, but if we were
just a monthly report,
if we need to. That'll give us next Tuesday. We'll meet, and then we'll try to get it on the agenda for the following Tuesday.
Okay, let's do that.
All right.
And then the next couple of printouts are just give you an update or let you see the kind of things that we've been working on. I think the first page is the culverts that have been installed. Those are driveway culverts. Second page gives you an idea of the ditch mopping, ditch cleaning kind of things that we've been getting. These are the calls that come in, the work orders that we establish. And this information is all available on the website if you can kind of work your way to it. You know, it's not really easy to find on our webpage, but it's all there.
But we're putting it on there now.
Yes, it's there. And I'd caution you all, this is something that we've come up against occasionally, is apparently there's two Road and Bridge Facebook pages. And one of them isn't getting updated because it's not what we think of as our official one. But we don't know how to get rid of it. So that's something we're working on with MIS, trying to...
Can't kill it, huh?
Kill the one that's not being updated.
Okay. And all this is why you're helping with debris as well.
Yeah. Right, and you'll see that a lot of these we haven't finished yet. These are things that we've gotten calls in to do. One of the issues with the debris is that we have to put the clippers, what we call them, or the pinchers on the end of the gradals to pick up the debris. And while we have those on, we can't be doing the ditch work because we can't pick up dirt when we have those on. We're making progress. And we're actually out right now picking up what we see as the last piles from Imelda. I had had each precinct give me a list. I've given a copy of that to Joel, and we're looking at those as being the last justified piles to pick up. And we just go pick them up and take them off. After we complete all those that we have addresses for every one of them, we are going to look at everything else that comes out as being something that's basically illegally dumped on the right-of-way. You know, and so, you know, we'll tell the people, hey, you know, we're not picking this stuff up anymore. You need to take it into the landfill. And hopefully, I mean, every time we have a disaster, we have this issue. People sort of get accustomed to just throw it out there on the side of the road and somebody will get it. But that's not our normal routine, and we want to wean them off of that. And so that's why we developed a list of everything that we think was justified. I mean, it was everything that was out there as of about a week ago.
Okay.
And,
you know. Do you remember that property I talked to you about on Brisker was on that list?
It's going to be one that we'll pick up. Okay. Yeah, because that one's there. I think I notified the debris removal guys back in November to get it, and they just didn't do it. We're finding,
whether they could back down
there. Yeah, there's a few of them that were difficult that they just chose not to pick up, I guess. Or they may slip through the cracks, but they were notified about it.
I tell you, two-lane road's gotten bad again just real quick.
It doesn't take long with a lot of rain.
It doesn't. I noticed the refrigerator and stove.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the trash. There are a few locations. Two-lane is one of them.
It's gone, and then last week it appeared.
Right. Well, people are always dumping things, and a problem that we've just encountered recently is, I don't want to blame anybody, but if you go down there to some of the major home improvement stores, they sell what they call is a bull bag,
yes.
A big bag that they claim you can take it home, fill it with trash, put it out beside the street, call a number, and somebody will come get it.
And nobody
does. Well, somebody's getting them because they threw out four of them on Japanese Lane. So I don't know, you know, how they got there.
Is that what those white?
That's what those big white things are.
I saw them last week.
I'd really love to be able to catch whoever's putting them out there, and if it's the number that you call, if they're bringing them and dumping them there, we need to put an end to that. Can't see anybody else that would have four of those. Excuse me.
Wouldn't the company be hired by Home Depot to do that?
I think I don't know enough about it other than to say that, you know, you buy it at the home improvement store. I think that's their entire involvement. I think when you call that number on the side, that's somebody else that's supposed to come get it and dispose of it.
Do they have an identifying number on them anywhere, Clark?
They have the phone number, but I don't know if each one has like a serial number or something. We have several. We can closely inspect. Yeah. Yeah, good idea. I hope maybe we could encourage the producer to do that, too.
Yeah,
if you really had to track it down, maybe they could.
Yes, because that might deter some of this if we had the ability to track them down. So.
Let me back up and say, yes, I think there is a number on those.
All right.
Just kidding. Any case, you can see our work orders for patching. That's the biggest list. Repairs, that's more typically along the lines of, you know, it's gotten past patching and we need to do some big work on it.
Speaking of patching, by the way, I know that we've been going in and out of the parks and stuff. I've been out there a couple of times. And not the entrance side, Sabrina, but the exit side.
Yeah,
it's got a big hole, pretty bad. I meant to say something last week, I forgot about
okay.
it. Okay. But if we need to get someone out there to kind of look at that, it's on ours before it actually hits the highway section.
Can I make a comment while we're on poles? I get a lot of comments about it. The Bluebird Fish Camp, a major
pole. Yeah,
they're all. Well, if y'all, you know, anytime something like that comes up, let us know because
yeah,
we typically
I
don't
just,
go
I
out there.
Just now when I saw the patch truck, it made me remind me because I was just out at the parks the other day.
Yeah, I mean, we're happy to take care of it. We just, we're not aware of it. We won't know to do it.
I'll go out there and take a look at Bluebirds and I'll send you an email, whatever I find, Clark.
And then the last list, I got two more lists. One's the signs. We have just occasionally Well, the precinct foreman, and this is typically in precinct four, we'll go around and just, you know, kind of get a look at all the signs that need to be replaced. Or we may get a call from Rose City and they just want to do everything. So that's the signs, and then we've had a few trees that we've taken down in the last month. Our trees get blown down, we have to take care of them. So that's that report. I do have, I guess, skip to the last thing in that packet. Each year, TxDOT will donate to the county a certain dollar amount based on our percentage that they're doing statewide. They come up with it based off of traffic and population and miles of road and all. But in any case, our allotment this year was about $21,000, $21,523. And they typically donate to us RAP material, which is recycled asphalt pavement, where they mill up the road and then they, you know, you see it piled up. Last year we were able to get it from a stockpile that was right across from the airport on Highway 87. This year we're not going to be able to be that lucky. We're going to have to go. They gave us two options. One of them was in Sour Lake, and the other one was at the Y. They were there in going towards Coons, so our Lumberton. So that's, I went and looked at that, and that's the closest and the, I guess, best site for us. So I would ask, Judge, that you would send that letter back to TxDOT and just let them know that we want to get all of it from that site there at the Y in Lumberton. And we'll, while it's still wet and all, we'll start sending trucks over to pick it up. Of course, we have to take a loader and load it ourselves and bring it back. But we typically get that and divide it up amongst the four precincts and haul it in. But it's
how many trucks we have we can haul it with?
Well, we have a good string. I mean, we have like eight trucks we can send over there at a time, but they only haul a little amount, so it's going to be about 150 loads that we'll have to go back and forth, and it's 20 miles one way, you know, there. So I kind of roughly came up with the amount of gas we're going to use, and maybe about $4,500 to go get the $21,000 worth of material. So it's...
Do you use dump trucks?
Yes.
So that's what you're talking about?
Yes, dump trucks. Right.
I mean, Clark, would it be worthwhile maybe to try to rent a trailer or something that we could use the big truck and save on the number of trips? Would that be
well,
possible?
You know, I don't know on the rental on the trailer, the cost issue. I just haven't looked into to renting bigger trucks. I would think the equipment cost would really just eat us up.
You'd still have the fuel cost, too.
Yeah, you've got all that cost plus...
Cut your trips down about, you know, yeah. I don't know how many trips. Because we only have eight-yard load trucks is what we're using.
We do have a couple of 12s, but I don't know which ones of them are running. A couple of them are in the auction, but typically our eight-yard loads. We can get it right here close. It's real handy, and I actually scouted a couple piles and thought maybe they'd let us get it out of those. And they said, no, those are already all allocated out to contractors. So we're out of luck.
I know you're used to, the cities used to allow their trucks to use to do that stuff years ago. They would, for the trade-out stuff.
Yeah, we have the equipment. It's not that. It's just the distance. You know, you hate to have to go way over. We've done it one other time with it since I've been here where we had to go over there by where the, over in Port Arthur where, what is it, 96 and... 73 mm-hmm. split, mm-hmm. right there where that new some depot is being put in. They had some stockpiles right there by the railroad tracks we went and got. But other than that, we've been fortunate to be able to get it here in Orange County.
All right. Okay. All right, since there's a, so we do a motion on that particular piece since it is a, since there is going to be a cost factor with that because of the fuel, just so there is some movement of money there. So.
And we're going to have the $21,000 in a check, so it'll just come out of that $21,000, basically.
Well, they don't give us money. What they do is say, here's the material.
No, material
and
value
worth
of that.
Material.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'll make that motion.
Right. Yeah, we second. Accept. All right, so we have a motion by three, by four, to accept the allocation of the value of $21,523 worth of asphalt material. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So that one.
And you just want us to send this from my office? I'll go ahead and send
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah. This is something they do every year, and it's just this year's allotment.
Yep.
Every year they go up, and I really think this might be the last time that this is going to be economically viable for the county to do it. They do give you the option. They don't like it. They'll give you the option of buying material and then paying for it. But it's a last resort. But over my period of doing this, the cost of this wrap has gone from like $8 a cubic yard to 10 to 12 to 14. They keep getting higher and higher. Well, we can buy brand new limestone now for $29 a ton, and we'd much rather have that than this type
and
material.
We can get that pretty local.
Well, we still have to get it trucked in, but
they do it.
You know, if they do go up again next year, then it'll probably be kind of at that tipping point where we might as well just try to get them to buy material for us. We'd take it a lot smaller quantity, but it would be better than us spending the money to go haul it over here. But that's just something. We'll wait and see what happens next year.
Clark, would they allow us to rain check it?
We have to
have a project closer to us?
No, we have to. Well, we can wait. We have to have it done by the end of August. That is their fiscal year ending point. And the problem with waiting is that then that ties us up during what I'd consider road construction season, where we don't want to be tied up. Right now, with it raining and all like it is, this is a good time to go and, you know, do that.
I was thinking if you could put them off a year to where they had maybe a project.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have to do it by August, that kind of changes that. If you can roll over to next year, we kind of double up on the following year. If there was a project close to you, that might be beneficial to us. But if that's
we've had some good years. Been occasions where we've been able to take it straight from the contractor. In other words, he'd deliver it to us because they were working nearby.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen too often, but that has happened once in the last 8 years.
Okay. We couldn't got in on 105.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know where that material's going.
I know the city of Ivory got 20-something loads of it, but then the contractor took the rest.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is it used to be considered a waste product, and then over the years, last 15, 20 years, they started using more and more of it in new hot mix. They'll put it back in, and they've been increasing that amount. They call it, you know, the percentage of wrap. They started out with like 5%, then they'd go up to 10, and they're maybe up to like 25% wrap going in that hot mix that I take it to the plant, run it back through there, and bring it back out and relay it on 105 and Vider.
They used to do the same with slag. They tried to give it away. Now they charge
them. Yeah, found the market for it.
All about demand.
I have some information in there about the trying to do something with the sidewalk issues.
Indeed.
Here in the courthouse, between the courthouse and the sheriff's department. If you look in there, I think I've got a picture of, I kind of tried to tell you some of the things that we were going to do, such as there's several locations where there's already drains that are plugged up or nearly completely plugged up, or the parking lot work has caused them to be lower than the parking lot, so they don't function even if they're open. And so what I'm proposing to do, and I hope y'all will kind of listen, let me go through this. I'm proposing to go in there and try and do a bunch of drainage improvement work first, and then down there in front of the sheriff's office where that main drain goes from one parking lot to the other, cut that one out and put in a slotted drain and a drain, you know, that's under the pavement there, and then get all that done and see if that solves a problem. If it solves a problem, then that's as far as, you know, we'd go. But if it doesn't solve the problem, then we still had to do that anyway, and then we go on with adding the additional sidewalk. But what I'm proposing, and if you look at that bigger page, I know it's hard to see with that color green. It doesn't looks fine on my monitor, but when you print it out, it doesn't look too good. And if there's any of y'all that are colorblind, I really apologize. If you want to send me an email, tell me, I'll make sure I don't do that again. But if you start down there at the very bottom and work your way up, one of the things that's happening is that the landscaping around the sheriff's department on the side towards the administration building is draining across their sidewalk. So I'm going to put in some edging there to keep that water from coming out of the flower bed, the rock garden, onto their sidewalk. That'll help cut down a little bit. And then right above that is where we've got the drain that goes across the sidewalk that needs to be opened up, made larger. And then there's two areas that are higher on either side of the sidewalk that prevent it from really draining out. So I'm wanting to rent a hand-pushed scarifier to go in there and grind down the pavement and those little bars that are kind of that hatched area on either side of the sidewalk going out across by the DA's office. I'm going to go in there and grind those areas down and make a shallow channel. And we're only talking about, you know, like this deep and spread out over, you know, 5 or 6 feet. So it's not going to be really noticeable, but it'll let the water run. What's happening right now is that the water runs from one side to the other, but the sidewalk, I mean, the parking lot's higher than the low spots, so it can't drain off. We're going to establish that drainage. And then up along each side where you have the curb on the sidewalk, it'll run a path up through there. Because over the years, that has been filled in and filled in and filled in, and there's not a way for that water to come down along the curb. So, you know, my intent is to rent a scarifier, get out there and reestablish some drain paths, cut out that sidewalk, and put a slot drain, and you'll see a picture over there if you look a page or two of what that looks like. And then there's one section that I think was the original drain years and years ago that if you walk that, you see it's a dip in that sidewalk that goes to either side all the way, and there's no dirt beside it. That's just too low. I need to come out and replace that. And that's about a 10-foot piece that I'll take out and replace.
That's where the people are jumping across, trying to get across that when it rains.
That's probably one of the spots, right. Yeah, I think what this amounts to is just years of accumulation. You know, stuff, either the parking lot has been overlaid and come up, or it was maybe a poor design. You know, if you look at it, that whole roof drains towards the administration building, has downspouts. In fact, you can see them in that picture.
So it's draining the wrong direction.
Yeah. Really it drains down there, runs down towards the sheriff's department, and back
we
under.
Go back.
That's the way it was built. So in any case, that was, you know, what I was going to say, is that we're in the process of doing that, trying to round up the materials, trying to find that little scarifier unit. Closest one I can come up with is in the south side of Houston, a rental place, and about $1,300 a week to rent it.
So the connection, how long we can keep it?
Well, I think we can do it all in a week.
Okay.
We go 2 weeks, then you just about paid for the machine. The machine's about $2,800, so it's kind of like, wow, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to check with some of these local brick
places. That's a good rental
places.
Business there.
Yeah, yeah. I thought one of these local guys might do it, but they don't. It's kind of a specialty item. But I am going to check with some masonry places and see if maybe they have one. A couple of places in Beaumont that sell brick and that type thing, they might have it that we could rent. Give you an idea on that.
Just looking at this, is this 24 foot of edging, is that something that maybe maintenance could help you with? Mm-hmm. Kind of split this up? Or
yeah.
Well, I mean, they could, but it's what I was, if you look what they have on the rest of it is landscape timbers, two landscape timbers side, laid on their side, nailed down,
right.
One on top of the other. What I would like to do is you can buy that metal sidewalk edging.
Like a sheet bottom kind of.
Well, it's
rolled
just
up and you.
Well, no, this would be stiffer than that. It's
okay.
It's straight sheets, straight pieces that are about that thick. Just drive it down in the ground, and maybe if we want to put landscape timbers along it, just to decorate it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if we can keep the water from flowing over there, that'll help.
Okay.
And then you know we're gonna.
But I'm kind of like Johnny. We have so much. For road and bridge to be doing right now.
Well,
I know that this is real important.
Adds a level of complexity. If we're going to do it, I'd just soon do all of it.
Okay, well, I was just thinking maintenance.
Water coming out of the flower bed, where would the water go?
Well, it's going to have to go down into that drain that goes underneath. Ideally, when that sidewalk was built, they would have brought it up a little bit. that whole area right there, kind of in front of the sheriff's department, is almost flat. Doesn't drain. Yeah, I don't have the cost other than the rental, $1,300. It's going to take probably a truckload of concrete, so we're talking about another 800 and something there. That trench drain, they're supposed to be pricing it for me now, but the guy didn't get back to me before time to come here to court. I would suspect that's going to be somewhere around another $700 or $800. So, you know, there's some costs associated with this. A lot of it's labor. Taking up these drains, running that little grinder, it's only going to grind like an eighth of an inch at a time, at a pass, and it's only like this wide. But multiple passes of that will let us, you know, gradually hone that down without having to replace it. I had looked into using something that the city of Vider has, which is called an asphalt zipper. If y'all been to any of the conventions, they always have a guy there, you know, selling it. And it's a machine that does what it's supposed to do, but it doesn't do something fine like this. It'll take out chunks, you know.
Sections.
It'll take out big pieces. And so it wouldn't be something. I need to be able to do this in a way that at the end of the day, we can stop and people can still use a parking lot, can still drive through there and not have to just shut something off, you know.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all for me right now, unless y'all have any questions.
Just one. Clark, on West Bluff Road, mm-hmm. Have we got to a place in the city where we're good to go, or we're still waiting on something?
Well, I talked actually to Jim Wolf a day or two ago about that. He was, you know, questioning, but the issue, I think, as far as, and Denise, you may have more on this too, but I think the issue is they don't have anything from FEMA saying, okay, we're good with everything you've done. They have sent their paperwork in saying here's what their costs are, here's, you know, what they finished. I believe FEMA has come and done their final inspection, but they haven't actually gotten back any documentation to verify that it's a done deal. And we were just kind of afraid that if they do any other action in the middle of this, it might throw a kink into it that we don't want. But if we can have the, a resolution or an agreement already ready, maybe send it to the city of Orange and let them review it, because there's always going to be a little bit of back and forth, I guess.
And that is with us taking the $100,000 from the pipeline?
Yes.
Okay. And this, can you get that ready and get back and forth with their legal to make sure we're all on the same page, so when it does happen, we can go ahead and move forward?
Yes. Okay. That's what we were waiting on, was to see where in the FEMA process, because that's why it got put on hold last time.
FEMA's always an interesting
thing. Now, one change, I think I mentioned this before, but one change is that initially we were just looking at West Bluff. Okay. Now, the city has suggested, and I'm kind of in favor of it, of them also de-annexing that little piece of Elmira.
I don't think they realized until we actually had a discussion a few weeks ago. And I said, well, you know, Elmira's a city street, too. And I don't think they had realized it until maybe I said it. But that piece is in pretty good shape.
Well, it is, because Road and Bridge rebuilt it a few years ago.
I understood that. I think some guys might have told me that.
Yeah. But one other thing, and this is something, I don't know how you put this in the agreement, but Jim Wolf, when he was asking me about maybe us taking over Elmira, too, and I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, we could take over Childers for you, you know. He said, because Childers, that's the road that runs out by the Port of Orange. There's a part out there off the end. The city already has the first half mile, quarter mile, and then it becomes county after that. And so we have this one little road that's isolated way off out there by itself that would be nice if we didn't have it. And Elmira and West Bluff are kind of the same for the city. They're way off out there, outside of their normal area.
With no property annexed on either side.
Yeah. So, it's not he's not suggesting that they would annex that, just that they would take care of it for us.
So we have to have a MOU, memorandum of
understanding. Yeah, something like that, or, you know, I really hate to get something going like that. maybe we can do it. Maybe they can annex it. I don't know.
You might get just annex. Well, annexation rules have changed a little bit, so that.
Well, yeah,
that's
true.
That may be what's prohibited them doing that.
Well, that's just one of those wrinkles that we might need to somehow address.
That's all I have.
Are we still involved in any road work? Does that just come to?
Pretty much comes to a stop when it's wet like this and when it's cold. We have several roads that we were started on. We have gravel down on them, and we're just maintaining them until it warms up a little bit. We do have one culvert that washed out over in Precinct 4. Big culvert. The culvert didn't wash out, but the side of the road kind of is caving off.
Elliot.
And we have... We're kind of planning on putting that in. We're going to be doing it at the end of this week until the weather looks so bad. But initially we thought we could just take the end of the pipe that fell off, put it back on, patch it back up with the hope that maybe we would be declared for public assistance during for Imelda. But I'm guessing that's sort of a real long shot. So instead of that, which would have qualified possibly for some reimbursement, we're just going to go ahead and bite the bullet and replace that whole pipe across there. And we're going to put in a slightly bigger pipe. It's 48-inch right now. And we're going to put in a 60-inch pipe and cut across the road. That's one of our few, not few, but one of the places where we can actually shut the road off and people can just go around. You know, that makes it nice. That's one of my gripes about these subdivisions have one way in, one way out, is that you can't do any major work without... A big problem of being able to open it at night. This one we can just make people go around a block.
We really need to move on that because that's pretty dangerous.
That's a deep ditch there.
One in particular, like, is Bessie Heights on, I mean, is that?
That's one of those that was left from actually the year before.
Right.
And we put gravel on it. And,
it's one that's in
it's, the problem. Yeah, it's one of the, I've got a list.
Okay.
Actually, I brought it.
Yeah, I knew about that.
Excuse me.
A little bigger.
Well, you're in good shape. You still
we need to figure that out one day. And that was Clark.
What?
That was you getting by, so.
I see one on here right now that I've been out to already this year.
The question about Bessie Heights, that the ones on the top that are shaded, those are the ones that are holdovers from last year that we're just moving over to this year. And then the ones below that are just ones that I've noted are bad, need to have some work done on them. Not necessarily that they are going to be done this next summer. I had asked y'all to kind of give me some recommendations, some ideas. Haven't received anything yet, so here. You got a lot of blank lines there at the bottom of that page.
Oh, I've got some.
Okay, if y'all would, you know, send it to me.
Aren't shaded there. We really do need to give attention to.
Well, give them to folks before they retire.
The issues, you know, what happens, and then, you know, y'all can see it right here. When you start adding all these up, that's already 15.6 miles. That's nowhere near everything we need to be doing. And so at some point, now you've got to start prioritizing and taking some out, even though you may really want, you know, a particular one on here. It may be that the money is not there. So, you know, it becomes that kind of balancing act trying to make it all happen. So, sooner we can get the whole bunch of recipe, the ingredients for the recipe, we can start trying to, you know, refine it.
We might be able to split that West Bluff up into several years, into pieces of it.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Because I know between their two repairs they made, we might concentrate on that piece and then keep working our way down.
Yeah, so West Bluff
might help us a little bit.
It'll rattle your teeth for sure going down it.
Yeah, it's not good. So for a city street, I get a lot of calls on that street.
and we still have that section of Old Spanish Trail that we need to get the...
Yeah, I didn't even put that on here. That's kind of a different issue.
Yeah.
You know, there are a couple of things that are in the works. We need on Old Spanish Trail, we need the landowner to say, hey, I love it, go forward.
Yeah. And I had talked to him over the holidays and stuff, and he said he was going to get back with us as soon as he was, I guess, ready to look at that map again, but I told him there wasn't a whole lot of wiggle room in there, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's a couple other things we have going. Regal Point, I've been dealing with a company about going in and cleaning and inspecting and then possibly relining that. They had some change in personnel back before the holidays, and so that set them back. But they did have some guys out here within the last week or so just trying to get re-familiarized with it, or familiarized the first time since they were new to it.
Yeah.
And that's moving along.
But one more question on Stallion. There's a bridge down there, and I think our responsibility probably stops just short of that bridge, Stallion off 1130.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, you're right, because I don't think we have what I would consider a bridge on 11 on Stallion. Okay. So if it's on out there, it would either be
for each district. I know we stopped, but some of that they've done some. I think they've done. Somebody's dug a canal. I mean a pond. And they have pretty much destroyed the very end of that road, so that's what we really, really need to take a look at. But I'll get with you. I'll get my list together, and we'll get together. That's all I got.
Real quick, Wexford Bridge.
That one is also kind of one of those projects just kind of hanging out there. I haven't talked to Richard Strother here in the last week or so about it. I think what, like I've mentioned to you, we're going to have to just build that embankment back out. And it may mean we have to take that guardrail back down and reestablish it just to make it easier. I'm not sure about that. It kind of leave that kind of thing up to the operator, see if he can scab that cement-stabilized sand on there. But that's what that takes, is building the base back, and then we can put a surface on it. And then what we'll probably do is leave it like that until we're doing some seal coat, some chip seal in the area, and then come chip seal it. Or we can do like we've done someplace, take hot mix and just blade over it, you know. A little short piece like that probably will work.
We still need to coordinate with the drainage district, too, to get our road bed that's in the ditch.
Yeah, dig out the stuff that fell off in there.
I think talking to the drainage district, they had a desire to possibly widen the mouth where it comes in and out downstream at the same time. Because we don't have a boom long enough to reach the
right.
So we would take coordination with them.
Yeah, I think we've, like you said, we've got, I believe, four barrels there. That so the channel, if you'd say, comes in, narrows. It's narrow, and it widens out, goes through our structure, and goes back down again.
Is it both those projects, Elliott and Wexford Bridge, both come from damage from amalgam, and Elliott presents a pretty dangerous situation. If somebody happens to run through the barricades, or the barricades happen to disappear, they're about 10 foot down.
Yeah. Hey, you don't want to run off the edge right there, that's for sure.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you, Clark.
Thanks, Clark. Very good.
All right. Item number 17, discussion and possible action to receive and act upon projects as presented by the maintenance department. Kurt.
I do not have any paperwork to hand y'all. I'd emailed y'all. Most of my projects are over in West Park. 95% of our work is repairing the park, so I didn't prepare any other. What I sent y'all by email is some of the 5% that we do on stuff that we have to go and take care of and fix and all that through the department from calls. As far as your building, I know I didn't say anything about it on item number 3.
I was about to say something.
What building was that?
Rick Scarborough brought his form bond and the insurance to purchasing the day before yesterday, correct?
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Mm-hmm. And all the paperwork, the recs filled out, the PO emailed it, Connie emailed it to Rick today. I talked to Rick yesterday evening. I talked to him this morning. He's going to get with me this week, and we're going to set up a meeting with me, him, and his supervisor, and you.
And me. And would you let me know at least?
Yeah, it's going to be at my office to discuss some of the work, and also for you to bring the colors that we talked about on the phone. Right. Mm-hmm. That way we can be all on the same page.
Okay.
But hopefully we got to give him a key to the building. That way he can get inside the building to start setting up. So that should be all taking place this week, and then they're going to be gathering up materials and all that to actually start the work and all that.
So next week.
Yeah, he'll give you more information in the meeting.
Okay. What?
We're over here trying to decide what colors we're going to pick for our office.
Well, at least you have one.
Back to something that's important. Out at Claiborne Park. The pavilions, what percentage would you say they're complete, the pavilions?
The pavilion number 3, since all the posts are done and the fire pit, the brick is fixed, we still have to cut the plate and tack the plate on. Other than that and cleaning up, I don't know what inspection that Laura has done as far as anything else that needs to be replaced or fixed or anything like that. Since the electricity's back on, they know what lights work and which ones don't, but it needs to be cleaned. It probably have to be pressure washed and all that. And I'm assuming, I don't know if Sabrina and them have a pressure washer to clean all that stuff up or not. I don't know.
But if they don't, they could get one from you and let them do the work?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, they started. She told me today, Sabrina told me, that they were already starting to paint the inside of their office because we had talked about, we put up all the hardy board and all that. They said they would come behind us and start doing the painting. And she said they have already started painting the office in the shop, inside the shop.
Okay.
So that helps us out. I talked with Laura. If they were going to come behind us after we put the post up on the pavilions and come back and paint the wood that we'd replace and all that, and they said they would come back behind us and start doing the painting on the posts and all that stuff. So that'll keep us moving forward, since what's going to take a little bit of time, too, is to go out there and start digging up the earth out there and find out where the water leaks are to get them fixed.
Yeah. We still have the main office to do out there, too, correct?
The main office, which Bill should be spraying the texture on the walls and doing a light drag on the texture before we can start painting it.
Is that the one that doesn't have an air conditioner yet?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct. We took the unit that had flooded, the condenser unit had flooded, but the fan coil unit on the inside hadn't. But the environment that it was stayed in for over several years and the insulation inside of it, we chose to take it out. That way we wouldn't have any air issues. But that project's moving pretty good. I did, Commissioner Vitor, I did meet up with some sheriff's officers Friday to look over the adult probation inviter. We discussed quite a few things inside there, what their needs would be as far as making it presentable for their office for what they need to use. The sheriff's department got in touch with Missy on the content insurance for the Vitor Sub-Sheriff's Office, and they should be getting with, I think, purchasing and all that to find out about getting some furniture. We all have to go inside there and replace the carpet out of the carpet's been in there since about 1998, and some of it looks like you could clean, but some of it it's questionable, so we're just going to go ahead and take it all out. We're going to repaint the walls, change the ceiling tiles out, and the very back room back there, the paint, the way it's chipping off and all that, we're going to have to scrape it and retexture that wall and paint it.
Did moisture cause that to chip off?
Years.
Okay.
Just the age of the building. But we are working with the sheriff and talk to the sheriff about getting some inmates once we get to figure out what we're going to do with the furniture to go inside there and get some trustees to go inside and start ripping out the carpet to help things move faster.
Yeah.
And also, we're going to, as far as this building here, we've cleared out the garage area for the expansion on the office for HR. So we've cleaned out the back garage. We're going to try to, once we get the texture done, I'm going to get Phil over here and we're going to start tearing out the wall. The carpet inside there, because we're tearing out the wall, we're going to replace all the carpet. And the carpet's been in there since we built it from when it was Judge Thibodeau's office. So we're going to take all the carpet out. We're going to get some trustees to help things move faster to get all the carpet up and get that project going for HR. That way we can move forward for Commissioner Trahan and the EDC to move into their other offices. We do have, I sent Connie an email today about the DA two-story. The building was built in 1940. All the mortar joints on it are up. Gone. Back in 2018, we had Southern Glass
come in and do a whole bunch of, take out all the caulking around all the windows and re-caulk all the windows. Well, we were hoping that was going to solve the problems we had around the windows. KC called me yesterday. We went over there to take some pictures of some stuff. We got some rotten wood around the windows. The problem is all the mortar joints are about gone on the side of that building. The building has never been touched in the 22 years I've been here. And the building was built in 1940. It was the old administration part of the jail many years ago. But it's just, the mortar joints is letting water get inside the building, all around the windows. So I sent Connie a proposal for a scope of work to do 100% repoint on that building. I don't know what the cost will be on it yet. I've got to get some kind of idea. I do have some pricing. I don't have it with me. What we did, Vider Courthouse, we did 100% on Vider Courthouse a few years ago. And that job didn't take but about 3 weeks. So hopefully it won't be that bad, but I will give the court the information when I get it, send it to y'all. The other cost on the UTMB medical. We spent a lot of money replacing the 250,000 BTU heat due to the fact that the design that was put in by the Way Company did not hold up. Moisture set in and rotted out all the heat exchanger and got into the circuit boards and run all the heat. We had to replace the heat inside UTMB Medical, and at that time we had to rent some portable heaters, which was an essential amount of money that we had to spend to keep things going at the clinic. All of it's been fixed. We shouldn't have any issues now because of the design to keep the moisture from building up inside the heat exchangers. There was a design flaws, and
we're running AC with duct heaters, or how are we doing that, Kurt?
The old design, they had four fan coil units sitting up on a platform that was like that for years. It worked great. When they came in here and changed it out in 2017, the design, we had issues. They worked on it. We had issues. We had video. We sent it to the Way Company, showed them my issues and all that. They felt as though they corrected the issue. We don't get out there every day to go look at a unit every day, but the condensate had stopped. Well, we haven't looked at it. We haven't had any issues until the judge called that one day and said that they had a gas leak inside the building. Well, due to the fact the gas leak was that the computer called for it to open, but there was no heat exchanger left, and it was just expelling natural gas inside the building.
So I don't get
fire me. Department came out. They shut off the gas. We isolated the issue where we turned the power off on it. The air conditioning part still worked. It was an inline heat exchanger, gas heat for the building. So we turned the gas off. We disconnected the gas line. We left the air conditioning because the air conditioning was still working. It would still blow through. It was not a problem on that part. It's just that when you needed heat, you didn't have any heat. So we had to rent portable heat pumps to provide heat inside the building, which was four heat pumps, I think almost 2 months, and that was an essential amount of money. Mm-hmm. More than what we anticipated as far as, keep in mind that my budget is, they have some like, it's the buffer in the budget, but this was one that I did not anticipate this early in the budget to spend almost $30,000.
I guess there's no recourse with Way Services for that work.
No, sir.
I had a feeling that was the answer, but I figured I'd go ahead and ask it.
Unfortunately,
no. What a stellar deal.
And then we still need to, at some point, look at getting either in-house what our potential would be down the road or a bid on painting, because it is, they sent that letter to us wanting to know when we were going to do some of that exterior maintenance work or painting, because it is pretty bad shape at the UTMB building. And
yeah.
So I know me and you talked about it, but we need to, whichever way we think's best, maybe we look at both and see what the options are.
Yeah. The biggest problem is that it's going to have to be like a weekend thing.
Yeah.
Unless, depending on how UTMB wants to work as far as shutting down a section of the building to be able to actually be do a facelift on it.
Yeah.
They're continuously busy on the whole section of that building, and I know they requested. I went with an inspector back in November. They had a guy from UTMB Medical came over here, inspected the building. We did a walk around. That was back when we were having the heat issues. Other than what he found as far as the heat issues, he didn't find any other things than some lighting on the outside that people complained that, and we went and bought some new fixtures. We changed out some light fixtures for because they felt unsafe when they came to work in the morning. It was dark, and we had a street light that was out. Energy fixed that, and they were happy with that. I sent them pictures of everything that they requested, and they were good with that, other than the heat getting fixed. And when the heat got fixed, I sent them an email to all the powers above in Galveston and all that. They were all happy. So the biggest thing was the trying to get the paint done, and the last time it was painted was in 2008.
Yeah, and it looks pretty bad.
How does our contract work with them? They seem to be making quite a few demands here, and I'm just trying to get my hands around what our responsibilities are.
Well, we would just have to, at that point, I think we're going to have to sit down with Denise. Let's look at those and see what that contract actually says we're supposed to be required to do. You know, I mean, I know the heat.
Yeah, we're the landlord of the building. They own all the materials inside the offices. That belongs to UTMB. They pay for their own housekeeping. But if they have, you know, light fixture out or plumbing problem and all that, they call us.
Well, it seems like there's a cosmetic demand now, and that concerns me if they're making cosmetic demands on paint.
If it's one part of it is I think if it's a requirement, that's one thing. If it's not a requirement, if there's something that we can do, because, I mean, it is, we don't want it to be a nasty facility with our name on it.
No.
So if we can clean something up or do, you know, and it maybe I went out there and we had talked about maybe just potentially pressure washing it, but the paint, it's peeling pretty bad.
Yeah, the outside of the building, especially the north wall, looks really bad because it's the north wall.
Yeah.
And it happens to be the biggest wall that everybody sees on. Mm-hmm. But it's an old building. It's an old church. It was added on three times, and it needs TLC. It's an old building.
The church has been there. The building's been there a while.
Yeah.
If we just kind of look at that, we'll look at that contract, see what we're required to do. I don't want to get us in a bind with our contract with them that we're doing something or not doing what we should be doing.
Agreed.
But in that same regard, we want to make sure we're taking care of it.
I did have an issue with the parking lot and park. Sent a guy out there to put some little hot patch on the asphalt on the hole on the entry because it was cement broke up and all that. And it was, of course, like when it rains and all that, you keep driving over that and keeps breaking up.
Yeah.
But he did come out there and patch it up, which made it nice for people. That's the main entry for them to get to the parking lot, so that worked out real good.
Yeah. Okay.
One more question while we're there. Kirk, I know that we've talked before about you mowing the area next to there.
How many
acres is that?
I think there's about 2 acres over there, the whole building and all that.
Do we own that?
Yeah, we own the property next to the empty lot.
So the empty lot, we have any need for that lot? Is there a way we can get rid of that lot, sell it, do something with it?
I don't know. It's almost kind of enjoined by that track for the school and all that. I have no idea. I mean, we can research it.
Do you have like a site plan you can send me to kind of show me where the layout? Send that to me so I can just kind of take a look at that and see if it seems like that's a lot of money spent on something that we're never going to do anything with, you know. So
and basically all we do is mow it.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see if there's something we can do with that.
Okay. Y'all have any other questions as far as, most of my work on the buildings is concentrating on Claiborne West Park and trying to get those moved forward, and also the Sheriff's Department and VIDER to move forward.
In my office.
And yes, ma'am, you're building.
Spring is near. If we can get those pavilions ready for spring, that'd be great. So I appreciate your work on that.
Yeah, I did talk with, to let you know, I talked with Sabrina yesterday about the Raymond Gould Community Center, the walk-around park.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it's something Sabrina has some issues with some the public complaining about the lights out around the park. Now, those lights out there belong to Entergy. They're not tied into a meter that's associated with Orange County. So they're like free security lights from Entergy. They're directly hooked to the transformer. And there's no meter tied to it. I don't know who pays for it.
Well, if they're free lights, we're probably having trouble getting maintenance on them.
There's a bunch of them that are out. And who do we call to replace on something that we don't have an account on?
But if I can get a permit from Commissioner Vietor, I'll go over there and take a look at that on the west side of the county.
Have a meeting.
And then I'll call some folks at Entergy.
It's not a monthly feed light.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a lot of security lights throughout the county that does have an actual meter and an account associated with it, but this thing does not. They're just tied directly up to by the transformer.
City street lights don't have meters on them.
I looked through our account, and as far as Raymond Gould Park, there is a one bill that we do have for the energy, but the rest of them, there's not an account associated with it.
Sometimes they do have a security light on the account, but I'll take a look at that, and we'll see where that's at, and then we can depend on kind of figure out how many we want out there. And there's probably some better lighting that even if we had to pay for it, there's some better lighting we can install out there. So
just to let y'all know also, I talked with a contractor about seeing what we could do about getting some kind of price on the gazebo out there at the walk-around park, because the roof has been gone since 2005. The structure of it's still there. I just want to try to get some kind of idea of pricing and submit it to the court to see what we could do. I talked to Sabrina about getting another roof on top.
Because we walked all that, and there's this kind of, we should be using it.
Yeah.
Because the structure still looks good.
Yeah, it's still nice. It just needs a roof on it.
All right.
That's all I got.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
The updates.
And as Kurt's walking away, I will say, I do think these little updates that we're getting are very useful. Kind of keeps us in the loop on what's exactly going on in road and bridge and maintenance.
Yeah, and we appreciate it.
I'm glad we're doing it.
All right, item number 18, discussion and possible action authorizing the early voting locations, dates, and times for the March 3rd, 2020 primary election as follows. Orange Public Library, main early voting location at 220 North 5th Street, Orange, Texas. Orange County Expo Center at 11475-B Highway 1442, Orange, Texas. Third, Orange County Airport, 2640 South Highway 87, Orange, Texas. And then the Raymond Gould Community Center at 385 Claiborne Park, Claiborne Vider in Vider, Texas. Voting will be conducted on the following dates and times: Tuesday, February 18th, 2020 through Friday, February 21st, 2020 during the hours of 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. All right. Saturday, February 22nd, 2020 during the hours of 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. And then Monday, February 24th, 2020 through Friday, February 28th, 2020, during the hours of 7 a.m. until 3 p.m. I mean, until 7 p.m., I'm sorry. All right.
These are our early voting locations for the upcoming election for the March 3rd primary. The hours for the first week, Monday, is a holiday, and so it's going to start on Tuesday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have that Saturday. Anytime people are on the ballot, we open up on that Saturday. And then the following week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And the reason why we went ahead and set these times for the 12 hours a day on the Saturday and the 12 hours a day for the second week is because I was contacted by the party chair from the state and said that if we needed a petition, that he would certainly give us a petition if we didn't set the time for the 12-hour day. So we just went ahead and did that so we wouldn't have to go through all that.
Thank you. Okay.
And the Tuesday, March 3rd will be 7 to 7.
It's our election day, 7 to 7.
And it'll be the same place.
They were all, we have 34 precincts. This is just the county
voting.
Sets the early voting locations.
Okay.
And so these have to be approved.
So then the boxes election. That are in Mauriceville will still have some boxes.
Correct. This precinct, we open up four locations in the county. I have one in each commissioner's precinct.
Mm-hmm.
A law, we only have to open up one, but we have always had one in each commissioner precinct.
Mm-hmm.
So the library is for one, the Expo Center is precinct two, three is airport, and Raymond Gould Community Center is in precinct four. And so election day, you have, for early voting, anybody can vote at any of these locations. All 34 voting offices can vote at any of these locations.
But election day, they'll be voting at
in their
boxes.
Correct,
their
And election day, you'll have those 1 through 34 locations, just like we normally do.
And like 2 had 8 boxes, there'll still be 8 boxes.
And they'll make the boxes all the time.
No.
Do we need a motion to approve these?
I move to go ahead and approve these early locations and dates.
Hey, the next notice is, you'll see that. Hang on just a second.
Okay. All right, so I have a motion by 1 to approve these locations. I second by 4. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so that's approved. 19, authorize the county judge or Judge Pro Tem to sign the notice for the Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020 primary election. This notice will be posted on the county's website, Arrows again.
And so this one right here.
Okay.
Okay, this will list the election day locations that you will have.
Yes.
And on election day, if you don't vote early, you have to go to the specific location that you're assigned to. Yes. Okay. And so this notice is for the Democrats and Republicans. They have to post the notice of election day. I just kind of put that with our notice of early voting that we have to post.
Okay.
We do not have to post it by law in the paper, but we do have to list it on our website, but I also have given it to the press so they can put it in.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Okay, a motion by 3, a second by 2. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
You pass that down.
Oh, she'll be back.
Yeah. It's just a matter of time. Item 20, discussion and possible action regarding the transfer of the following items, asset numbered 16679 and 16680, file master camera from records to surplus.
And this is just a standard transfer from the department.
I make a motion that we...
Second.
Yes. A motion by 2, a second by 3. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 21, discussion and possible action regarding the selection of a committee to review and score the request for proposals for the grant application administrative service CDBG-MIT grant.
And this was on the agenda last week to go out for proposals, and Commissioner Trahan kind of mentioned we could keep the same committee, which would be Commissioner Precinct 2, Commissioner Precinct 3, mm-hmm. Joel Ordon, Denise Gramegan, and Lisa Schroeder.
Sounds good to me.
I'll second.
Yeah, y'all, we work well together. We'll be glad to do it, won't we,
Kirk?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so I have a motion by 1 and a second by 4 on selection of the committee.
They'll be repaid.
Hey.
All right.
You got that right.
any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Item 22, discussion and possible action regarding awarding RFP 19017 Hazard Mitigation Grant and FMA Acquisition and Elevation Projects Service. Action by the court shall include approval from the Orange County Judge or Judge Pro Tem to sign the same.
Yes, and the committee reviewed and scored the RFP, mm-hmm. and the committee recommends the award to Trailer and Associates if court so agrees.
I'll make that motion.
All right, I have a motion by 4, second by 2.
I'd like to
commend our committee, too, on the job well done.
Yes, thank you. All right, so I have a motion by 4, a second by 1. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Item 23, closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code 551.074 to deliberate the appointment, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of a public officer or employee, or to hear a complaint or a charge against one or more officers or employees. Ms. Denise?
Yes, I'd ask the courtroom be cleared, save this up for myself, Lori Ardwin, which one will you go first for? I guess that's it for now. We'll call anybody else back in if you and with recording.
All right, we'll return to open meeting at 4:04.
I recommend no action at this time.
Mm-hmm. All right, no action on that item. We'll go to number 25, closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code 551074 to deliberate the appointment, employment, evaluation, reassignment duties, discipline, or dismissal of public officer or employee, or to hear complaint or charge against one or more officers or employees. Again,
I would ask that the court be cleared, save it except for myself and Lori Ardwin with recording.
All right, we are open at 4:59.
I recommend no action at this time.
Right. Item 27, discussion possible action court, adjourning court.
A motion.
Second.
I have a 1 and a 4. Any comments? None.
Aye, aye, aye.
Favor,
aye.
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 But we don't.